This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Andre Lott into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line! It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Corver's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss. The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal Nation. Welcome to the Thursday morning edition of your Two Birds on a Bat Cardinal Fan Podcast. I'm your host, Jim Cromer. Let me welcome in my good buddy, Steve Flowers. What's happening?
Man, we're living right now. We had a big Cardinal win yesterday, finally, and then the Blues finally got a goalie to stand on their head, and 52 saves or 51 saves?
51 yeah.
saves, and we needed that, so it's a good day.
It's a good day in the loo yesterday.
In the loo, and guess what? It's almost 80 degrees today, so yes. maybe the worm has turned here.
Well, you know, our last show was, I feel, appropriately titled, The Sky Is Not Falling. Now, I will say, you know me, you know how I am. I don't want to talk about anything permanent for a month, but man, it's hard to watch. Of these things are hard to watch, and again, I'm going to say this, and again, just like the other night, I'm not doing any judgment here. I don't want to talk about Colton Wong only hitting one whatever and the error he made the other night. I'm going to give him some time here. I'm going to give all these guys some time here. But what I don't want to give any time to here is again, I've said it once again, I'm not a Matheny apologist, okay? I don't think everything in the world is his fault. But I'm telling you what his fault is. This lineup he's rolling around with is stupid. I'm going to say that because that has nothing to do with urgency. That has nothing to do with let's get settled in. What he's doing with this lineup is frankly stupid. I have a good friend who shared something yesterday that I thought was pretty accurate, and I'm going to bring that up here a little bit later once we get past our guest because I know we're limited on time with him. But you know, we're going to talk a little bit about it because, again, I don't want to talk about performances and stuff because I want to give everybody a month to settle in. That first road trip, the first struggles, the highs, the lows, all that stuff. I think you have to do that with everybody. But the one thing that should be constant is the way you handle your team. That's what I'm concerned with. Listen, hindsight's always 20/20. You bring a guy in, he doesn't get the out. Of course the guy you wanted to come in would have got the guy out, or he plays a guy and that guy goes 0-for. The guy you wanted to play would have got four hits. I understand it. That's not what I'm talking about. I have no idea what we're doing with a couple of things. And again, I am I'd say that I'm fairly open to like, okay, they got some of these things right now. I'm perplexed. I really am.
Well, the bottom line is I hate the fact that you want to give them a month of spring training, even though they've had 2 months of spring training, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, to figure it out the first month is what frustrates me. I mean, figure that out down in Jupiter. When you break camp, you should have your lineup, and you should have an idea on what's going to happen and how you're going to play. You shouldn't be figuring out the first and second and the third.
We're going to get to that.
I'm going to
give you my theory
on
that because I think you're going to listen to what I have to say, and you're going to be like, okay, I get it, because this when I tell you what I'm upset about, you're probably going to be shocked.
Well, let me tell you what.
Let's get to our guest, though.
I'm excited about him because here's the deal.
Hey, before we do that, I missed the boat here. Don't forget, guys, twobirdsonabatpodcast.com is where you'll find the podcast. It's also the best way to subscribe. It is free. You'll get a notification every time we do the show. At Birds on a Bat Show is our Twitter handle. We're getting more and more Twitter followers every day as it seems like, you know, with the Cardinal games in full force and everything going down – It's a great place to stay connected with the fans. Right now, we got a lot of people frustrated. If we weren't on Twitter and if you weren't following us, we weren't following you, we wouldn't know. So please follow us on Twitter. We are at Birds on a Bat Show. If you're a Cardinal fan, we're going to follow you back. Facebook, tremendous opportunity for us to be able to share things with more than 140 characters. Find us there. Two Birds on a Bat, just type it in. We just started the great new group. We're up over 1,000 people involved in the group already. Birds on a Bat. Make sure you guys go in there and join that group. You know, we're going to, as long as your posts and everything are respectful, we're going to let them in. We may not agree with them, but we're not going to be ignorant on there. No ignorance will be tolerated on that group. But we want it to be, just like the show, a fan show. We want it to be a public group. Just let's keep it within, as they say in the movie Slapshot, within the boundaries of good taste. So yeah, special absolutely. Thanks again to lineupmedia.fm for all their support. They take your entertainment time very seriously. I would encourage you to check them out, lineupmedia.fm. You want to listen to what you want to listen to, when you want to listen to it, and most importantly, how you want to listen to it. Check them out. They're the fastest growing podcast network on the planet. If you enjoy this show, there's going to be so many more shows that you'll enjoy as well. Check them out. All right, let's welcome in our guest, because I'm so excited to have him on here, and I know we don't have him for a ton of time, but I'll tell you how big he is. We push Benji back.
We push Benji back. He brings his own World Series trophy.
He brings his own World Series trophy.
He's an icon at the stadium.
Yes.
He's a personal friend of mine.
Oh, wait a minute. Hang on. I think you went too far.
No. Listen, let me tell you what. I'm disappointed because I didn't really find out until late that he was kind of jammed on another
event. Yeah, I thought we were going to lunch with this guy.
But here's the deal. We could do two shows on him.
He can come back anytime he wants. Anybody walks in here like this can come back anytime he wants.
He's got an incredible story.
We have a chair open here for him if he wants.
We do. But Rodney was going to come in today and join us. But anyway,
Rodney's out.
He's out.
No, Rodney can come in anytime. This guy, whenever he's available, he can come
Incredible
in.
Story.
Okay.
He's a man of many talents.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, many talents.
Okay.
But friend of mine, you guys know him as a Cardinal Cowboy. I know him as Cardinal Carter Rethwish. What's up, brother?
Giddy up, Steve. How you doing, man?
Hey,
man.
You see how timid he was with your last name? Let's just stop
with it.
Let's just stop with it right
he
now
says,
before we butcher it.
Death Wish is his nickname.
Death Wish.
Back in high school. Absolutely.
Back in high school, and it's just Rethwish.
Rethwish, Death Wish. Okay,
that's it.
I'm just going to call you the Cardinal Cowboy because I will butcher that last name. Thanks for coming. And you are iconic around the stadium. I've seen you numerous times. When Steve told me that he had made your acquaintance and that you were happy to come in, we're very excited to have you.
Cool. Yeah, well, this is a great show. You guys are doing some fun stuff, and this is the sport that saved my life, if you know the whole Cardinal Cowboy story. So.
Well, no, we actually don't know the whole story.
So here's the deal. This is what I say.
Okay.
Okay, you're in section 161, you're in section, 343, whatever section you're in, and you see the guy down in right field always holds the signs up.
Right.
Marty Prather,
yep.
I think that might be Prather. It.
Mm-hmm. The sign guy,
You got
sign guy.
Sign guy.
Yep.
You had another friend of ours that used to stand outside Old Busch Stadium in his wheelchair, Father Time,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Just Mr.
Passed
Pagano.
Away, didn't he?
Just passed away.
John is his son. John's my video producer.
Absolutely. You have the guy now that's standing outside in Superman outfit taking
yep.
pictures with people. And then there's the clown walking around in full uniform regalia wearing World Series rings. A big cowboy hat.
Did you call him a clown?
The clown. I'm just saying, you're looking at this guy.
I actually performed as a clown 2 weeks ago. Yes.
All right. Well,
and this
okay.
guy, the Cardinal
I didn't
Cowboy.
I didn't see any big red shoes, is why I asked. Go ahead.
The Cardinal Cowboy has an amazing story to tell because there's a way how he got here, and he's a motivational guy, and he's a positive guy. And the reason why I really wanted him on after the last couple of losses, is he's not going to – I'm starting to look at 2018.
Oh, come
and this
on
guy's going to talk me off the cliff.
Well,
I know he is.
Well, then we need to hear from him. So, and again, I'm gonna affectionately call you the Cardinal Cowboy instead of Death Wish because it just sounds so much better.
Well, there's a
– But, yeah, you know what? When Steve told me you're coming on, I had a brief opportunity to read a little bit, and he's right, without getting into it because I want you to get into it. You're a Cardinal fan, and you feel like that – is a big part of your life and how it's gotten to this point. So tell us your story.
Well, yeah, you trace my roots with regard to baseball back to, as a kid, I was the kid that would take hundreds of ground balls in the backyard with my dad. That was what I did for fun. And then I would take batting practice all the time. So I became a pretty decent ball player, came up and was playing what they call slaba in St. Louis.
Yeah.
St. Louis Amateur Baseball at the time. That's the Premier League to mm-hmm. be in. And Ryan Howard and David Freese came out of there. Kyle
yeah.
McClellan, a bunch of guys came out of there. So I ended up winning the most valuable player for my team. I lost it for the whole league to a guy named Brian Rupp, who now is the Double A manager for the Washington Nationals, and hit, got stuck at Triple A behind Scott Rolen for the Cardinals at third base.
I remember that name.
Yeah, and so I talked to a buddy of mine, Kerry Robinson, and Kerry candidly said to me, he says, "Man, you might have made it because you know Rupp had was a great ball player, but didn't have enough power as a third baseman to make it to the bigs." Was the argument. But I wasn't a third baseman. I was a middle foot infielder.
Yeah.
And I almost, you know, I was runner up to him with a few other guys for the most valuable player. Same award Dave Freeze won. Same award Ryan Howard won. And then a year and a half later, I'm in college playing ball, and bam, I wake up from a coma. I got hit by a drunk driver out on Highway 109 in Eureka on my way back from college after a soccer game. I was playing soccer, I was going to play baseball, and I was going to kick on the football team too.
Wow.
So. And that was all during college. You usually do it in high school. College is a little stressful, but I'm pretty motivated anyway. So next thing I know, I didn't even realize what happened. I'm on the side of the road. They're talking to me, and I start to go into seizures, having convulsions, and they say—
Do you remember that?
I don't remember any of it. Yeah.
This is all people telling you, obviously, how it went down.
I don't remember the accident. I show pictures of the car. People are like, "You survived that?" Because the car is just a mashed-up piece of metal. You couldn't tell it was a car from the front end where we hit. So they pull the drunk driver out as I go into seizures and put me in, the guy who hit us.
Yeah, that's what I read.
Yeah, the guy hit us blew a .21.
Oh, boy.
That was his 50 WI, and no insurance, naturally. But so Jimmy Barnes and I and Jimmy Weatherly, we all go to the hospital immediately. And they said if I hadn't made that first trip, I wouldn't have survived. So I go to the hospital, proceed to go into a coma. Sadly, Jimmy Barnes died a few days later. I'm in a coma, and they're like, "We don't know. We give them less than 50-50 odds to survive." And I proceed to, I don't remember any of this either, but there was a stat, get to the emergency, get to Carter's room, what's going on, room, whatever it was. And I'm pulling my arms out of the restraints because they tether your arms down so you can't pull your own equipment out of your own throat. And I pull the ventilator out of my own throat, and they say, "Well, he's going to make it." So that was a good indication. But then they proceeded, and my parents were very careful about the way they helped me recover from this. And I was so fortunate to have awesome parents. Both of them were there, and it was a trife within the family because, you know, Mom wanted me to come back to St. Louis. Dad thought I should stay in school at Central. And they both wanted me to sit out a semester, but I was, you know, hell-bent to stay in school and go back. And I went back and got grades. They weren't good grades, but stayed on it. But at that point, they told my parents, you know, you're likely to have to take care of Carter for the rest of his life. And then I proceeded to say and prove them wrong. And I'm like, "No, I'm good enough to go back to school." Now, they had to walk me to class.
I mean, sure.
They walked me to class, and one of the doctors, one of the PhD teachers, his friend of my dad's, and called him and said, "Carter should not be here. He doesn't know where he's at." But it was 5 years of recovery like that. And so it just proceeded. I just kept proving everybody wrong. And it was, I think, the fundamental base for that, I think, was it wasn't – and I love my math teachers, and I love my English teachers and all that. But for me, it was baseball that gave me that – because I look back and I'm like, what was it – what did I do that gave me the desire to achieve and strive and win and make things happen? And it was what I learned from baseball, you know, to compete. You know, I was never the tallest, the fastest, the most talented, but I worked harder than everybody. And I would have enough insight to do things that a lot of people didn't see. And that's what gave me the edge. And so I realized if I just push and go, that's what separates the champs from the losers, right? And so that's where I proceeded to go with this thing, and I credit baseball with that.
Forrest Gump, kicker, soccer player,
yep.
All right? Motivational guy, baseball player. He does it all. Now you did a little. Did you kick afterwards? Right, you started doing a little football after like several years ago, right?
Yeah, I end up 28 years old. I'm like fairly well recuperated from the coma. You know, you never completely recover from that. They didn't think I'd be able to function, but so I kind of. But I ended up finishing college, and then decided I'm going to go through grad school. I had to get special testing done to prove that I could go to grad school, and they gave me special tests when I was in school there. But I finished my master's degree by the time I was 25. Just before 25, actually. And then I said, all right, there's this football league out here somewhere. There's got to be somewhere I can kick field goals. Because you can start kicking field goals a little bit later in life. And so I end up being 28, and I walk on for the River City Renegades. I never kicked a football in a game, any kind of game, in my life. And they made me the backup kicker. They said the kicker said he's the best guy besides me. And then that kicker actually got hurt and then went on through there. So I proceed. I get into outdoor football. Cyclones, Bulldogs, and Bulldogs used to be the Gamblers, and the Gamblers used to be the only team in St. Louis when the Big Red left, and they were semi-pro, whatever. But those guys end up; these are nationally ranked teams. We win a few championships, and I end up being the kicker for those guys and get a call. I kicked exactly five 50-yard field goals over my career, which was about 12 years, and a bunch of 40s and whatever. So that got me a tryout with this little team that we used to have in St. Louis called the St. Louis Rams. Yeah, because they called
little
me,
team.
Little team based out used to be based out of St. Louis, and and so
used to be. Yeah,
yeah. So that was really neat. And then you know naturally, I got my tryout offered to me, and then they fired the coach Bobby April, and then because that was the problem, right? Then he goes off to Buffalo, becomes special teams
coordinator of the year,
coordinator
right?
of the year.
Yeah,
but he was Bobby April's scout called me and said, "Hey man, we heard you kicked a 51 yarder. Would you like a tryout?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's what I'm doing this for, man. I'm 28 years old, you know, trying to make it." So proceed to go through all the sports and all the stuff, and like I said, it's just a matter of sports gave me the ability to beat the odds and overcome, and that mental strength to accomplish anything. And this is that's the whole story. Now, I've got it on the poster. I give one every time I go on a TV show or a radio show, or I try to bring one of my posters. It says dream and then chase your dreams. And a lot of people dream. They just don't chase them. And they don't believe that they can, or they don't think they're equipped, or they don't know how far along they actually are, and then they give up. And you just got to persist. And it's just everything I've decided to go after, I accomplish. You know, at one point, I ended up being I ran the email systems for the largest brewing company in the world. Little company called Anheuser-Busch, you guys have heard of, right?
Okay.
But I had 6,000.
I'm a little familiar with it.
A little familiar.
I had 6,000 users that I built the servers, I maintained it. That was my job. But, you know, that was after going through a coma, they thought I wouldn't survive. So the message is you can do anything. You just got to believe in yourself and go for it. And don't let any hurdle overcome it. A coma is a pretty big hurdle to overcome.
A little bit.
For some people, right? And so I hear people, my dog wet the floor, I'm not going to be able to, oh, give me a break, man. Come on, life is short. Go for it. And people don't realize what they're really capable of.
You know who recovered from a coma was that Victor Kiriakis cat.
Yes, numerous
times.
Days of our lives.
Yes.
A little bit different story here.
But it's make-believe. It's almost like this guy's doing something that is a fairy tale, really.
Well, yeah, and you know, what you're doing with the motivational stuff and talking to people and telling the story and all that is phenomenal. Is that the hook with you and the Cardinal, is just to make it more, or is it just simply you just love the Cardinal?
Yeah, I was like, well, I've got to give tribute to the team that I believe helped me survive. And so I'm going to go to the games and cheer them on. I originally started off with the Augie Bush red cowboy hat. My dad had a replica. I took it from him, started wearing the hat, and I started wearing the jersey. And I said, you know what? I should have been out there. I'm going to wear the dang pants to the game. I don't care what people think. I came out of a coma. Here we go. I remember looking down. I'm like, oh, boy, this is going to be interesting. We'll see what happens. And I expected to get booed out of the state. Who knows? I mean, what would happen? But the response, like, and there's always one little jerk. I've kind of used this as a calculation. You know how many people you're reaching when you've got somebody who acts like a jerk? Because there's one jerk out of every 1,000 people. You could be giving them $1 million for free, and they will still find something wrong with it. So then if I get 5 people act like a jerk towards me the whole time, I mean, there's thousands of people that are going, hey, we love you. But then I go, oh, cool, I must have hit 5,000 people then because I had 5 people.
That's pretty cool. That's a good formula there.
It is a good formula. You know, like Steve said, is if you're around the ballpark a lot, there's so many interesting things going on around there, things that become iconic. The Blues have it, you know, with their towel guy and things like that, and then the guys that walk around the blue suits. And I think fans, and you will be able to attest to this, I think fans almost look forward to it. You know, like when they go to the game, like, hey, got to go to this guy. You had said at the beginning, hey, we got to go find the Cardinal Cowboy. I mean,
absolutely,
it becomes almost like part of the experience. I mean, do you feel like you're part of the game day experience?
You know, I try not to let that get too far down my thought process because I just want to be like the regular fan who does stuff and try to bring a smile to kids as they come around. But it is true. I mean, if I stay in any one area for too long, there's going to be people coming up to me to try to get pictures with me and doing the fun. And it happened down in spring training. This is the first time I've been in spring training. And I was just standing there, and people would come wandering over, and they'd grab me, tap me on the shoulder, and say, I need to get a picture with you. And I'm cool with all that, but I always make sure I mention to them, hey, dream and then chase your dreams. Look up what this is about, because we got to make an impact here. There's a lot of people who get stuck in life, who've given up on where they're at, and they just need a little push and somebody to encourage them, and they can do it if they would go for it. So.
Yeah, it's a great story. It starts off rough, but you know, look how far you've come and what you're doing with your life. I think that's awesome. I mean, how can you not?
Well, like I said, when you go to the stadium, this is one of the guys I look for, just because he's iconic down there. If you've been to any games and you sit in sections, the vendors there, a lot of them are the same. You know how they talk. You know mm-hmm. their mantras. You know yep. the beer bud, bud, beer bud, bud, beer bud. You got the guy who is like, and this is years ago, ice cream. And, yeah. and I mean, I could almost imitate all of them. Yeah. And it's the sounds of the ballpark. Yeah, that's
that
it.
Guy.
There was a guy that was like, who wants a soda and a free straw? I mean, it was constant. These guys all had their personalities. There was Father Time outside.
Yeah.
There's Marty, the sign guy. Fred Bird, you're always looking for. The Cardinal Cowboy is in that conversation. He's right up there. You got to get with him when you get to the ballpark.
Do you have some sort of professional relationship with the Cardinals, or are you just simply a guy that has tickets and goes to the games, or what is...
Yeah, I've got a connection with somebody who likes what I do, and they want me to go to as many games as I can. So I worked through that, and that took 10 years to develop a relationship like that, but they're like, hey, we love... And it was through a relationship where I was helping, and I didn't realize who they were, but I wanted to help their son because their son was in a coma. And I said, oh my gosh, who is that? I would like to help them. They said, do you know who that is? I'm like, I don't know. And then they told me who it was. I'm like, oh, well, I still want to help them.
Sure.
They saw I was sincere and really helped this kid, and I've been told by... And this is a big connection. I won't say who it is, but they came back to me a year later and they said, you know, our son, it was a grandson for him, the only person he's been listening to is you. That's getting him out of his funk to be depressed and upset about what happened to him.
That's awesome to make a difference. How long has this been going on for you with the Cardinals?
Well, I go to the games. I started wearing the pants first time in 2004.
Okay.
And so coincidentally, if you look at the stats, the Cardinals, I believe, have the best ratio of playoff appearances since I started going to the game wearing the pants, carrying the trophy. Coincidence?
Have you not been wearing your pants lately or something? Is that the problem? Well, are you walking around pantsless?
What's happened most recently, I get pulled in 5 million directions. You know, you start doing stuff like this that resonates and you get pulled. I've got an appearance I got to make tonight. I got another one tomorrow, two of them tomorrow. Tomorrow night. So it just goes on and on. I got a TV show tonight, whatever. But it goes on and on. And you got to appear to. So I missed last year 5 games straight. Which I go to one game every series is the deal. It's hard to go to every single game.
Sure.
But I missed 5 games straight. I was out of town for a convention for another organization I helped do some stuff with, and the Cardinals lost all 5 games.
Well, they won't let that happen.
So no. I was like, if I'd have been to one of them, and they would have won that game.
Yeah, they get the playoffs.
Then they make the playoffs, right? So I don't want to take credit, but I'd say I don't have complete control of that, but I have a lot to do with it. We juggle.
All right. So, do you intently watch the team and have opinions about players and strategies and things like that, or are you just like, you know what? I'm just I'm happy to be alive. I love the Cardinals and they can do no wrong.
Again, you're limited with all the access you have time for. I don't analyze every player. I have an overall perspective that the Cardinals have a superior mindset when it comes to sports. That they and I talk about this, and I think it's pretty well known, but you kind of pointed out, they don't spend the most money. They don't buy the biggest players. But how do they always end up in the playoffs? You know, and people just, I travel around the country, people say, oh, you darn Cardinal guys, you guys are always in the playoffs. I see you guys all the time. And I'm like, yeah, but because we have a superior mindset, I believe it. Matheny exemplifies, La Russa had. And they just have a history of hiring good leaders and get them there. And then, you know, you end up with 11 World Series championships and you got number two in the world.
You may have just lost some fans because there's a lot of people right now that would disagree with you about Mike Matheny. And while I give him I defend him a little bit because I think sometimes we blame him for everything, whereas some things I think are more on the players. Even I right now. You know, he's doing some things that just, to me, don't make any sense. I mean, it isn't whether or not he's smarter than anybody else. It's just they don't make sense. I don't even know why you do them. So you may have just lost a few followers.
Well, and I won't publicly say anything negative about the Cardinals.
Sure. Well, you shouldn't.
Right. Yeah. But I have some feelings one way or the other. But bottom line is, Matheny's done a pretty darn good job.
You go
World Series, two times, and make it to the playoffs, and then last year, one game short. I mean, other franchises would kill to have a tenth of that. And
right.
You got to close the deal, right? You got to win that World Series.
And that's always my thing with the anti-Matheny crowd is when you want to talk to them about his record and things like that, they want to make excuses for why he has a good record. But then when things aren't going so well, they don't want to hear excuses. So I'm like, you can't have it both ways.
Yeah, well, give the guy a little time. La Russa was here for a long time before he won a World Series.
And I also think Mike's young. Now, here's the thing. I also believe that some of the things he may do could be part of him being a young manager. Will he get better at him? I don't know. I expect him to. And if he doesn't, guess what's going to happen? He'll be gone.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, it's like there was a great movie where a guy says, look, I took this job under the premise that someday I would be fired.
That's the way it works.
That is the way it works. So either get better or get fired. I mean, it's that simple. Now, where we go from here with him, I don't know. But I'd love to, I know that, you know, you just stated you don't have time to openly analyze every single play, everything. But do you have a general thought on this current team?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the lineup. It's not something that is the most impressive when you look at the star base, right? But you've got a solid lineup. The thing I try to focus on, and this is the emphasis that ties to life, is that, and this is one of the most key things my dad mentioned to me after my coma, it's not the error that kills you, right? That's not what causes you to lose the game. Just ask the Cubs with Bartman back in the year. Now they finally got their
sure.
– so we're good for another 108 years now, I think.
That'd be fine with me.
Yep. But it's not the error that kills you. It's how you respond to the error. Think about the 1985
sure.
Kansas City. If you yep. watched what all went wrong there, it
yeah.
wasn't just Don Dinkinger's
that's
bad
right.
call.
Yes.
Then there was a pop-up behind home plate that got dropped.
Yep.
And there was a number of things that just happened one after another. And it's when something bad happens, you've got to bounce back. And that's the key to this. And that's what I think you got to give Matheny a little bit of leeway with the seat. He's done pretty well with that most times. A couple of times we wish he'd done a little better. But overall, he's done pretty well. And if you just win one World Series out of every 7 or 8 years, and what's this? He started in 2012, where this is in his fifth year. And I mean, he's done pretty well. You give him, if he pulls one off here in the next couple of years and wins a World Series, then they're like, man, this is the greatest manager. You know, he's done a great job. I mean, if you win two of those, then you're Theo Epstein yeah. and all the guys that they're.
Yeah, you brought up the way they do things and all this, and you know, La Russa, and it took him time. My concern with this team is they don't have a guy. Now Yachty's a guy,
right.
But I mean, they don't have a guy like you know, they've had one for a long time, and you know. I don't know. They're going to have to do something more than what they've done.
Yeah.
They've kind of given us that. Well, we gave you a leadoff hitter. I mean, yeah, but we needed a leadoff hitter and a number four hitter.
Right.
I mean, you gave us a leadoff hitter.
Well, we had an interesting conversation with our buddy Ryan yesterday, and I liked his idea. And this is a fan show. We'll get into it a little bit later.
Will,
but
for sure.
That's why I started saying, what's down the future for us? But
yeah.
I did want to ask, as we ask all of our guests in here, what's your earliest memory, Cardinals, favorite player all time, favorite current player, that type of stuff?
Sure. Oh, yeah. Well, I you can't bring up the Cardinals, talk about the Cardinals without as a kid watching Ozzie Smith do his flip out onto the field before they stopped him from doing that finally 10 years into his career.
Apparently. You tried it, didn't you?
Yeah. And I taught him how to do that. No, I
didn't. Oh, there we go.
Not true. But he was my idol as a kid, and I'll never forget it. I'd been diving up the middle doing my plays that I was doing in high school, and these guys are like, who's this kid diving all over the place as a high school infielder, jumping up and throwing people out? And a gal comes up to me. She goes, are you the guy they call Ozzie Smith?
Oh,
and that was the most – and that was incredible. So, but, that was my idol as a kid. You like Lou Brock. I was a little bit young for Lou Brock, but got to see him play a couple times when I was a kid, real, real young. And then growing up, I mean, you had all kinds of guys. McGuire was exciting, right? We all
right.
know all of what went on with everything he was doing and the fun he created in St. Louis. And then this team now is just pretty consistent. You've got a couple stud players that come around. Molina, obviously a leader. You got like Carpenter. I got most excited because I know Freeze personally, right?
Mm-hmm.
And played in the league with him. We got to talk to him a few times. And, that was the most iconic moment we may see. How relevant is that to anybody who's not a Cardinal fan? I would say as a baseball fan, you have to say that's one of the best moments in sports history.
Right.
Baseball history, for sure. And when do you ever see that kind of phenomenal two strikes, two outs, twice, and the series is over, you lose, and they come back and Freeze a triple. And I actually called this. I didn't realize it at the time, but I had brought my own little camcorder in and was recording it. And I said, and I recorded his triple and then shot a separate video and said, hey, remember Mr. Freeze hit the ball off the right center field wall for a triple to tie things up in the bottom of the ninth. So maybe this time do it again or hit it over the wall and call it a night. And I forgot I even said that. And then somebody watched the video. It's been watched 25,000 times now on YouTube or whatever. And you watch two pitches after I said that, we all know what happened, and that was insane. But, I mean,
wow.
That just electrified
sure.
the world. I mean, that was just – I mean, you got jitters about it. I felt like, I had a new girlfriend or something. But.
I know you got to run, but you got time to hang on while we get Benji and maybe say hi and
absolutely.
Have anything for him. All right, let's effort our man Benji Molina on the m4byyachty.com hotline. Are you there, my man? Benji, you there?
Yeah.
Hey, there he is.
Yeah.
What's going on, buddy?
Not much, man. Not much. I'm ready to go.
We're missing you, that's for sure. I can tell you that I've already lost a couple pounds since you left. No more.
Me too.
No more eating out on the town every night, visiting. But you'll be back. That's the thing. That's what I got to go extra hard the next couple weeks before you come back because we got some more places to go. So got to do. Got to go to the Sub-Zero Vodka Bar. We're going to go to Sub-Zero Vodka Bar and meet Steve's friend. And we got places to go, bud.
I was just telling Benji.
How about the hill or something?
The hill.
We need to take you to the hill, too.
We had somebody mention Guido's for us to go down there.
Yep.
Charlie Gito's is another one they mentioned.
Hey, everybody wants you to come eat. I don't know what it is.
Hey, I feel
I don't mind. I don't mind if we just eat one time.
That one time. That sounds good. Hey,
we got to do it one time a day.
One time a day. Hey, Benji, we got a great guest in the studio. He's affectionately known as the Cardinal Cowboy. He's an iconic figure down at the stadium that has a tremendous story. He's a lot like yourself in that he spends a lot of his personal time motivating people, talking to them about, you know, the positives of life, overcoming challenges, things like that. He's a lot like yourself and what you try to do. We just had a great interview with him, like I said, because he is an iconic figure down at the stadium, and it is a fans podcast. He's got to run, but he just had a couple questions for you before he went, so I'm going to turn the mic over to him for a second.
Benji, how are you?
Yes, of course. How you doing, man?
Doing great, man. Great to talk with you. I get to see your brother play. What's it like? My first question would be, what's it like being the most talented of the three catchers in the family?
Hey, most talented and the best good looking.
That's right.
Don't forget that one.
Okay, I wanted to give a
no,
comment.
No, man, I got no skills compared to my brothers. I know I had a great career, and I thank God for it. Every minute of it, every second of my life, I thank Him for it. But skills wise, man, I think Yadi came up with both of us skills. And. And Hosey, I wish you guys could have seen him when he was starting. I was the least guy that had skill, believe me, and I'm not lying when I say this. I had to work really hard for where I got to, you know. And it was tough for me to get there, but I made it. But the skills wise, man, I think Yadi had them all, and Hosey was right behind him.
Well, that's very humbling to say. I appreciate that. And I'd say talent you have is obviously in some other areas you're expanding with your career and the lives you affect. And that's what I think it really all boils down to. I like to visit kids at hospitals and schools and talk about how I overcame my coma and the odds. You know, if it weren't for baseball, I don't believe I would have survived. And hearing what you do, that's awesome. So take your talent and use it as best you can. That's exciting to hear you're doing that.
Oh, thank you so much. And that's what I'm trying to do. And I want to get all the kids out there. Inspire. I want to get them going. I want to get their parents going. I want everybody to stay positive on these kids. I don't want one guy to say that these kids cannot make it. I want all of them to say, yes, you can make it. You can, if you work hard at it, you will make it. And that's what I want. So that's one of my reasons why I keep trying to keep positive, you know?
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to hear because, you know, so many kids these days, and you talk to them all the time, and I see them all, they've got so much hope, but then something gets in their way, I was talking to a kid the other day, and I was at Maryville doing a speech, and the kid comes to me afterwards and sends me a Facebook message. He says, man, I was really down, I was really out, and then I heard your speech, and it really helped me change my perspective to believe, you know, that if I just dream, and I have my cards I hand out, say dream and then chase your dream. And he quoted that back to me, and I said, that's what we're talking about. So that kid, and there's so many kids like that we can affect if we just go out there and do it. And that's the real message. Have you heard at all about
that's exactly right why we do these things. It's just because you don't know who you can change their life at any moment, you know? So that's why we do it.
Absolutely. Have you heard about the Powerplex in Chesterfield?
The Powerplex?
Yes.
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, I'm going to talk to Dan Buck about you and these guys. And the Powerplex is an indoor baseball facility that they're building, right? And they're starting the work to get it done. And I was helping promote it. They had their big launch at Ballpark Village last week. We did a whole I've got my own TV show on ABC 30, the Cardinal Cowboy Show. And so there's a good video about it.
I think Jim mentioned something about it, that they were building something like that. It might be the same one.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be huge to help kids get involved with sports and really put St. Louis on the map. I think it's going to be a big impact in St. Louis. And anything you'd like to be involved there, I'll connect you if you want to know more about it.
Well, heck yeah, man. Heck yeah. Anytime I'm out there, we can go and have a talk with those kids, and I don't mind it at all.
Great. Giddy up.
Well, good stuff. I know you got to run, and we appreciate you taking your time there. And again, Carter Cowboy, I'll let Steve try to get your last name right. Deathwish. Carter Wethrush. Rethwish? Did I do that good?
You got it.
Carter
yeah.
Rethwish. Well, hey, we appreciate you. And when we see you around the stadium, obviously we're going to stop and say hi now. And now that we're all
all friends and fans here, and just, you know, like to have you back on again sometime and just kind of keep up to date with what you're doing.
Well, you guys keep up the good work, because this is the kind of thing that has the impact. You know, we all take time out of our lives and we've got other things we need to do, but what you guys are doing is really helping St. Louis be the awesome city that it is.
Well, we appreciate you. Good luck at your next appointment.
Great. Nice. Thanks.
Take care.
Giddy
up. That is the Carter Cowboy, or the Cardinal Carter Cowboy, the Cardinal Cowboy, Carter Rethwish. Good friend and obviously friend to many, and has made a difference in a lot of kids' lives. So we do appreciate him very much. All right, back to our good friend Benji. Benji, my man, since you've left, we had some not-so-good baseball and finally had a good day of baseball yesterday. Sometimes you're only as good as your last game. So I'm going to go ahead and go with, we're coming off a win. Positive blue skies are ahead. What are your thoughts?
I think the same way. I think they're starting to play better, even though it's still way early. It's only the second week of the season, and not that you want to, you know, slow down on any moment. You got to put your gas, you know, the gas pedal and keep going. But hopefully they can build up from this game, the past game. It's not easy to beat Scherzer at home, you know, and they did it. I don't care how. Like I always say, I don't care how we win it. It's just a win, and we did it. So I think if they could build something off from this one and just keep rolling with it, I think they will be okay. And plus, we got to wait and see what Mattini is going to do, because he has a lot of decisions to make in this series with the Yankees regarding, you know, like guys and lineup and who plays or who doesn't. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, you know, you brought it up, and I mentioned to Steve earlier that I was going to talk a little bit about this. When you were in town, you and I had a conversation about, you know, when things weren't going so well. You know, and I had said that, you know, and I think you were, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but I think you kind of felt the same way. You got to give them some time before you can start saying this isn't working or this isn't working or whatever. And especially getting on the manager and all this. I was telling Steve at the beginning of today's show that while I don't think everything's the manager's fault, I do have to take fault with some of the things they're trying to do, which make no sense to me. And I'll just sum it out like this. Number one, you know, if you were pressed into a situation where you had to put Matt Adams in left field, I'm okay with that, okay? But it almost seems like they're forcing it now, and I don't understand that. It's one thing for it to be, you know, for a couple of innings here, a couple of innings there, because it just works out that way with the way they have to do it, of whatever it is they do. But it almost seems like now they're trying to take this whole thing to another level. Well, last I checked, if everybody's healthy, we have three outfielders. So I don't understand that whatsoever. Number two, this is going to surprise Steve-O, because we talked about this. You know, I know Johnny Peralta hasn't been very good, okay? But they had a whole spring training, as Steve mentioned. If you're going to put him there, then put him there and give him a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, and see if this is an issue or if it's just a slow start. But I can't handle the changing it every day. I don't know that I can handle this part of it. I'm okay with a platoon when it's a lefty-righty situation. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. What I'm not okay with is every day it's something different. That I have an issue with, and I'll say that out loud. I don't care. It's not even it's just something that I don't think is conducive to winning. Your thoughts?
I think I'm with you 100%. I don't like it, but here it goes again, like what you just mentioned. You either give the guy a little bit of time to recover, like 2 weeks, and you let him recover, or if he doesn't do it, then you change him. Or you go to the hot guy, but don't keep changing him back and forth, you know, like you just mentioned. I'm with you. I'm the kind of guy that I know I love Peralta, and he's a good friend and everything. But like we said before, and this is all the fans out there, we are competing against many good teams that we have to beat in the end. We have to be on top of all those teams we mentioned before, the Nationals, the Giants, the Cubs. Everybody that San Francisco, all those teams, they're going to be up there, man, at some point and later on. That's why we need to do this right away. And I don't see the forcing issue on Adams. He's just looking probably for a guy who can hit, you know, power and stuff. But like you said, we got three outfielders, and we're counting on those three outfielders. If anything needs to change in this today, you know, like today, talking today, right now, if anything needs to change, could be the third baseman, could be the Carpenter going from first to somewhere else where there's a spot that he can help us, and then changing that third base because he's struggling right now, things like that. And, you know, that's the other opportunity. That's the other chance that they can do it. But changing players like that, and believe me, I was a player. I didn't like it. I luckily and thankfully didn't have to go through it. But I saw many players that complain about the same things. Like, man, I cannot get in the rhythm because when I get three at bats, then the next day I'm sitting down. Then the next day I play one at bat. And, you know, like they hate it. Believe me, they do. So I think I don't agree with that. And from now on, it should be whoever's on is on.
Yeah, you know, my frustration is it's not like you're – and I know you went through a stint there, BMO, when you were, you know, getting – you were platooning even though you were hot against – I think you were hitting against lefties and somebody else was hitting against the righties, yep. And even though you were hot. And the platooning, okay, I can understand the theory. But yesterday was a wholesale change – on the complete lineup. You know, all of a sudden you got Garcia batting in the two hole. Adams is now back out in left field again. Jerko's over at third. Fryer's catching. It was a wholesale change. Now all of a sudden they win. So
yeah, it looked like a genius.
Yeah, it looked like a genius. But at the end of the day, when that lineup came out, I'm thinking they're already looking forward to New York, getting some guys some rest, get them 2 days off. Let's get out of Dodge. Who cares if we get swept? You know, it looked like from that standpoint, one guy I can see because you're platooning him or because he was hot or you wanted to get Yachty an extra day rest, whatever it is. But when you flip your entire lineup over, to me, it just rings a bell like you don't have a game plan.
Yeah, I think he was looking, like you said, you know, like a couple guys and, you know, give him a couple of rest, and he's like probably – just said, you know what, he's probably fed up with it. You know, like, man, I keep putting these guys in, and they're struggling, and they're not giving me good at bat. So, you know what, let's do this. Let's see what happened here. It's early in the season. Yachty has played all 8 games. All of a sudden, he needs a day off. Maybe Diaz needed a day off. I mean, we don't know what happened. Of course, we're not in the clubhouse, but maybe Yachty wanted to play. Maybe Diaz wanted to play. Maybe whoever it was, they wanted to play, but the manager made that decision. So I think it was okay to do that. And the only reason I say it was okay is because you found out right there that you can win with some of those guys, that you can put them in and they will do the job. You know what I mean? Like Jerko at third, he could do the job. Don't be scared of doing it. Like Garcia, I saw some numbers on Garcia compared to Peralta today. I mean, he hit 275, and Peralta was struggling with 250 or something like that. I mean, why not give Garcia a chance? Why not put him in the lineup? So this is a good thing that he did it. Might not look at the beginning of the game as a good idea, but it is a good idea because we all get to see, and he gets to see that these kids are good too. You know, these kids are playing well, and maybe Adams is struggling right now. Fine, sit him down, you know, and keep him as a pinch hitter for now because he's struggling, right? Wong is going through the same issues. We have Fowler going through a lot of rough batting and rough swings, and Carp is not hot yet. We're going through a rough start right now. Yeah, we know that. But it's not bad to put these kids out there and say, here, go have a game, buddy. And then you find out that you can play these kids. You know, you can find out that you don't always have to depend on your number one guy that you designed who was a one guy. Nobody else did. You did. So it's a good thing, I think, in a way. You know, you can see it that way.
You're right. We see that often when, usually your big hitter or your basketball guy or your scorer in hockey or whatever it is, whenever a guy goes down that's usually the cornerstone, that it tends to have those other guys, for some reason, just focus a little bit more to try to fill in those shoes.
Ready to go.
Yeah. And ready to go. Maybe that's what we saw yesterday, that all of a sudden, you know, there's no Yachty, there's no Diaz in the lineup, and Piscotty says, well, I guess I'm the next guy. You know, I need to take control. So hopefully that springboards us into more wins.
You know,
yeah, I hope so. I think it's going to go that way. I think it's going to go that route. He needs to make some changes. Of course, it's obvious Peralta's having really bad at-bats. And on the field, he doesn't look very good in the field. And like I said, I love Peralta. I love for him to start hitting and play the game how he knows how to play. I would love that. Same with Wong, like we discussed before. I'm a big Adam fan, but you know, they're having trouble. So take advantage of the other guys, man. When you have them, you know, Jerko and, you know, those guys, just take advantage of it. Garcia, man, he's a baller, man. I like how he plays. The Jose Martinez, just take advantage of those, you know, while you can until those guys get ready.
Yeah, you know, you and I talked a little bit about the Adams thing. Everybody's all upset because he's playing left field. The Jose Martinez, who had a great spring training, you know, people think he should have been getting some of those starts out there, which I'm not ready to disagree with. That's not my point. What I'm saying here is that I think we talked about it and came up with the only logical solution here is, as an organization, they think they need the power. And while he hasn't done it yet, I think we all know he does have realistic power. So, I mean, we're very early into the season. Again, you can't hold anybody to a different standard. I mean, no, Matt Adams is not hitting, but neither is Matt Carpenter, neither is Dexter Fowler, neither really is anybody except for, you know, Yachty and Diaz. Piscotty picked up his average with a good day. But for the most part, you know, some of the regulars aren't hitting either, so it's kind of hard to say that. It all comes down to how you think your club is built. That's my problem at the end of the day is I don't know that I like how the club is built, only because I don't think we have a real number four hitter. I saw a great post yesterday from a friend of mine who I love the idea of flipping Diaz and Carpenter. I would love Diaz to bat third and Carpenter to bat second. I think this guy brought up a great point. Dexter Fowler has this really nice on-base percentage, which I'm sure is going to get better. I'd like to see Carp hit with that big hole on the right side of the infield a lot. You know, there's some things to that, but at the end of the day, as much as I do like Piscotty, I don't know that we have that true thumper in the four hole who's going to drive in 100 runs and hit 30 home runs. I think that's something we're really going to miss.
You just said it. You just said it right then. We don't have it. So you have to put somebody there, right? So
right.
We don't have it. The true one we don't have. So Piscotty makes more sense because he hits the ball everywhere. He hits the ball, you know, he can do it because he's not a true fourth batter. But who else is our option? If you bring somebody up and say, this is my option, I probably, you know, it'll be fine. But we don't have that option. So what we have right now, is the best option that I think is Piscotty or Peralta when he's hitting. That's it. Adams against righties and, you know, like they're doing platooning, cannot be a fourth batter because, you know, he doesn't play against lefties and things like that. But I think Piscotty is our chance, is our guy because he's not a true fourth batter, and I agree with you, but he's our best guy that we have there right now.
Yeah, so I agree.
It makes sense to have him.
No, I agree, and I remember, like, you know, and I'm with you, and believe me, you had a whole bunch of people just – stop the show when you said Peralta, when he's hitting, should bat fourth, because nobody thinks he should bat fourth, although he has had a nice career. Now, if he's done, I don't know. I'm not here to say that. I still
if
think
Peralta
the guy can play.
On, if Peralta's on, you better count on him. If Peralta's on, because he's a veteran, he knows what the league is, and he's done it before. The problem is right now he hasn't done it, right? He's
right.
Not like many other guys. So that's the problem, to see if he's done or you know, he doesn't look very good in third base either. So that may raise a question, you know?
Yeah, and again, I it comes back to my original point of why the push on Matt Adams to get the at-bats. Well, they're going to come from somewhere because they seem to have their feet dug in on Carpenter staying at first base. That's a logical place to put Carpenter or Matt Adams if you're going to get at-bats. Well, I said the other night that, you know, a leopard will show its spots, a tiger will show its stripes eventually. You know, and we assumed that with a lot of work that a few guys were going to be better defensively this year. Well, everybody was excited about Diaz working with Oquendo in the offseason, which he did. Okay, everybody was excited about this and that. Well, if and again, I'm with you on this. If JP, if this is all we're going to get out of him, you can't do any worse putting Carpenter over there and getting Matt Adams in the lineup at first, if that's what your ultimate goal is. So I don't understand why this is so difficult.
Then why? Yes, yes. You just said it, man. I don't understand why it's so difficult to figure it out. You have two holes right now. It's a second baseman, which is Wong. He haven't been able to hit very good. Jericho is doing, you know, okay. He puts the ball on play this year. He has. And you have the third baseman, the hole. Those are the two holes that you have. So Grichuk is doing okay. You know, the outfielders should be the normal guys, and they're doing all right. So you have two holes to fill, second base and third base. Why not Carpenter played second base for years and then went to third base? I don't understand why it's the deal. If you want Matt Adams, why, if you have those two holes, why Carpenter cannot go to third or go to second and play that bag again? And then you have Matt Adams at first, which is a position that he's more comfortable with and we are all more comfortable with. You know what I'm saying? So I think I don't see the difficulty on it, you know?
Yeah, see, for me, it would be, listen, this conversation for me is completely different if, and again, if is a big word, right? If we have a guy that plays superior defense and is adequate offensively at a position, this conversation doesn't happen. My problem is that we're not getting great defense from either one of them, no matter what anybody wants to say. I know that Wong is supposed to be an elite defender. And again, I said it earlier, I'm not prepared to give up on Wong because he made a silly error the other night and he's not hitting. Again, just like I said about everybody, I'm prepared to give him plenty of at-bats to see what he can do in a consistent situation. I'm not here to go, oh, well, there's another error. He should sit. He should never play again. I'm not in that point. But where I am going to go with this is, if you feel like offensively you have to play Adams and you need to get him 400 or 500 at-bats, and that's the best defense you're going to get from either one of those other two, Carpenter can do that job. I know he's not going to win a gold glove at third or second, but I guarantee you he can play that way.
He can play. He showed he can play. He showed it. It wasn't a mistake when he played third, and he did great for us. And when he played second, he did okay for us. He's not, like you said, he's not made not win a gold glove, but he's an upgrade, man. Just think about it. If I mean, the way things are going right now, that's what we're talking about, right? The way things are going right now. We're not discussing last year or the years before. It's the way things are going right now for a manager. It's very difficult because you have those two holes. He's trying so hard to find a lineup that he can just put out there and be consistent hitting and obviously in defense. But it's really hard when you have like eight guys, or you have six or eight guys hitting what they're hitting right now. You got Fowler striking out 12 times out of 35 at-bats. I mean, that's your leadoff guy. It doesn't mean he's going to end up there, guys. I'm telling you, for all the fans out there, this is not a panic situation. This is not pushing the button for anything. We're just discussing what's going on today. And today, we have a couple holes, and it's third base and second base. The other guys are doing okay. First base, Carpenter, he's going to hit. Believe me, he only had 26 at-bats. 26. And this kid is going to get 600 at-bats, or maybe 500. Let's say 500. They're all going to get 500 at-bats. They will hit. It's just that today, they haven't found their rhythm, and they're struggling a little bit. So we have to see that. But we have two holes that we got to fill, and they have the option. The problem is that the manager has to do it. You know, they have to figure it out, and they have to do it.
Last guy I want to touch on that some people are concerned about, and he's people struggle to be concerned with this guy because they love him. He's been a great Cardinal to this point. I don't think anybody's ready to throw him in the trash pile because it isn't like he's 40 years old. But, man, people are really trying to figure out if we've seen the best of Adam Wainwright, and what he is now is a sliver of a version of himself. I mean, what's your thoughts on Waino?
I think we cannot, like I said before, you know, we cannot push that button yet on him. Obviously, he deserves more respect than this. I think he deserves maybe a whole month, you know, like five starts before we can start mentioning how bad or how good he's been or how good he's going to be. Does he look good? No, he doesn't. He doesn't look good. You know, he's allowed 7 earned runs in 9 innings. I mean, that's not going to cut it for us. But he's still done so good, and he's a professional. He works hard at it, and he also tries to figure it out, which is a really, really big key on these kids right now. Some of them, they said, okay, I'll throw, and that's it. No, he goes through the video, try to figure things out. So I think I saw flashes of good things in the first start when I was there doing the games and in Spanish radio. I saw flashes of him being good. So it's really early, like 2 starts or something like that, and to just giving up on him. You know, I don't feel like that. I really don't. I feel like we need to give him maybe 4, maybe 5 starts, and then we'll start comparing and we start hoping, because we hope that he picks it up. We hope that we need him so bad. Our starting guys are doing great. I mean, Lynn had a little couple, you know, at the end, and then Carlos last outing wasn't very good. But if you put all those 5 guys together, we have a great rotation. And we got to give Wainwright the time, the 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, starts, and then we can see what we got. You know, I think that's what we need to do with him. I'll give him time a little bit.
And I tend to agree with you there, BMO, but at the end of the day, you got a kid down in AAA and Tyler Lyons who's going to put some pressure on him. I think he had a pretty good start yesterday with 6 innings pitch, and you got some other guys down there that are going to put some pressure on these guys, and I don't want to get to a point where we're a month into the season and you're 10 games back already. So
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's what you don't want to do, you know. I think that's one of the reasons why you give him a couple starts, but it's just because he deserves it as a veteran, you know. As a veteran, he deserves it. But you're right, man. You're right. If he doesn't look good in the 3rd start or maybe 4th start, we need to start thinking about doing something, because we cannot be losing. Like we always have been saying in the shows, we cannot do this. We cannot lose games that we should win and things like that, because those guys ain't going to lose.
Your friend Pedro Martinez, I know you saw that we shared this around. I know you like to talk about Pedro. Great story. Good guy. Great pitcher, obviously. He tweeted out that that he felt, and this is what he tweeted, I'm going to quote him, "Adam Wainwright is going to reinvent himself and get people out. I wouldn't worry about him in the beginning of the season." I'm wondering if you think that's just Pedro knowing the man, or if maybe he had a conversation, maybe, and Adam might have talked about how I'm gonna have to change some things. We went through it in St. Louis when Andy Bennis was here. I don't know if people remember, but you know, he came back and you know, he was, you know, towards the end of his career, he learned a new pitch and it was devastating. I mean, you know, it's like, man, I wish I would have learned this a long time ago. Is that the path Adam's going to have to go down, is maybe add another pitch to his rep, something that he can develop or something? That word reinvent can mean a lot of things. What's your thoughts on that statement from your friend Pedro Martinez?
I think what Pedro said is probably the straight up answer to what everybody's question is, you know, like, how is Wayno? What is he going to do? How is he going to be later? He was straight up with the guy, like I told you. I believe that the guy is going to pick it up. I really do believe so. If it doesn't, we're only going to see later on. But I really do believe so, man. He's a horse out there. He's not just anybody pitching. It's Adam Wainwright. And him being a veteran and knowing how to deal with these situations, I give him the doubt, man. I give him the chance to be good, to be better later on. So I think Pedro was saying the truth. I don't know if he have talked to him or something, but he's probably like me, like, man, he's gonna pick it up. You know, he's a veteran. We know him. We know he works hard. He figure out, you know. So, and that goes with what I said, you know, give him 4 starts, maybe 5 starts, and then start thinking what we need to do, because we cannot be doing this, you know, with the guys, you know, that we have to chase. So I think Pedro was right by saying that. I think he knows that he's a veteran.
last thing, and I don't mean this to be mean, but Brett Cecil did what he was supposed to do yesterday, and we got a win. Is that, you think that's something he can build on? I mean, he came in and faced arguably one of the best left-handed hitters in the game, and with the game on the line, basically, and got him out. What's your thoughts? You think that's something that can propel him?
Yeah, well, I hope that people don't get me wrong when I say this, because he got an out. He got an out. He did. He got the guy out, and it's very true. But it wasn't an easy out. He didn't punch him out. He didn't pop him up. He didn't get him a ground ball the first or a weak ground ball anywhere. That guy squared the ball on him again. And that was going to be a double if it wasn't, you know, for a great play by Jerko. So, but in the end, he got the out. And I understand that. Believe me, I do. And I'm not dogging the guy. He only has three innings. Come on. We can't dog anybody on two innings or, you know, things like that. So, but he haven't looked good at all. He haven't looked good so far. Ole is struggling a little bit. They put the bat on him a lot and hard. Broxton has been hit hard. And again, we're talking about 2, 3, 4 innings, okay? So we need to be a little patient with this guy. At the same time, we need to do it right now, right? This is the confusing part. We need to do it now. We need to pick it up now. But we're still 2 or 3 innings away. So Sigrist having a lot of trouble getting people out too on 2 innings. It's really early to say. And I hope they all pick it up. And I wish that I knew that. But I hope they do pick it up. The two guys that we need to talk about probably for people out there is Bauman and Sokolovich,
right,
and Tui Vailala. You know, those three guys have put and have saved the bullpen so far, right? Those are the main guys. So if you're the manager and you got those guys struggling at the bottom, you know, Ole and Cecil, Broxton and Sigrist, you better start thinking of the ones that are pitching good, because we need those games like we discussed, you know. So at least we got three guys, and then Rosenthal coming back and being there should help a lot. So we'll see what happens with those guys.
Well, again, we're not far enough into the season to start, sacrificing chickens and you know, cats and dogs playing together, locusts, waves of locusts. So I'm going to give it some more time. But, you know, again, I'm not going to be a basher. I'm not going to just fly off the handle and lose my mind. But, again, I need to know what the game plan is for what's the problem. You know, like if we really feel like we have a problem, if that's the answer, Adams in left field, that makes no sense to me. I mean, we have three outfielders.
Can I say a little something, Jimbo?
For sure. Anytime.
Just remember, the pitching, we are 26 in the league, and there's 30 teams, okay? You know, 4.90 ERA as a team, all right? 26. Just think about that. We're in defense, 7 errors. We're hitting 23rd in the league, 219. Okay, when these guys can hit, okay, remember, we have a good team. We have a really, really exciting hitting team, and we are struggling right now, 23rd. And the pitching that we have, the bullpen, it haven't helped us much, right? It's really hard for fans to you know, like to stay on top of these because of these numbers. But you have to believe in your guys, because I do, and I do believe that they're going to turn it around at some point. We just hope that it's sooner than later, but they will turn it around. They will. You watch, man. Those kids are going to start pitching better when they get used to the whole season going on and things like that. And guys are going to start hitting. You cannot expect a Carpenter to hit 200 the whole year. You can expect Fowler to hit 200. You can expect, well, you know, all those guys that are in the bottom, you can expect that. They will hit. They will find a rhythm, and they'll find a way to do it. We just want to know, and we just hope that they do it sooner than later, right? So that's the whole thing. As a fan, I want all the fans out there, the Cardinal fans, just to, you know, take it easy, you know, just, you know, I know it's you know, you get desperate because they're not hitting right now. We're losing you know, we lost 6 out of 9 games and things like that. I understand that. But these guys are going to pick it up, man. And I have a lot of faith in these guys. They go out there and they work their butt off every day. They show up to work. They show up to be better. You know, so I want the fans out there. Just, hey, man, listen, let's give them a few more. Let's give them a month and see what they are. Because I am sure, I assure you, they're going to be better.
Well, we're going to find out. That's the one thing. They're going to play ball. And you play no matter what I think or anybody out there thinks, they're going to do what they do, and they got to go out and perform. At the end of the day, the players have to perform when given the opportunity. Some of these guys have track records. That's really all you can base it on. You know,
remember that when they started the worst in 2011, they won the championship. So keep that in mind.
Listen to this. This guy's a fan now.
Yeah, I mean, he is.
He's doing the things that fans do. I'm ready to still jump off of a cliff. I don't know if I've been convinced not to jump.
Well, I said the other day, I saw that tweet the other day, and I said, you know, and basically that's reassuring that the 2011 team did that. But this manager doesn't get the pencil in number 5 in the number 3 hole every day. He doesn't have Chris Carpenter in the clubhouse. He doesn't have Lance Berkman. I mean, you know, some other guys. And again, I'm not putting anything over these guys, but Benji mentions it on this show a lot of times. We have a few guys in this lineup that are still living off potential, and potential only matters if you are a doer. If you're a maybe guy, and I say that all the time, I don't want a bunch of maybes on my team. I need some guys that I know what they can do. The problem is right now.
I hate that word.
Yep, I know you hate that word. And the problem right now is the guys that are doers aren't doing. So we're going to have to figure this thing out, because, you know, I don't know that anybody's, you know, should be real comfortable with where we sit. But today's a new day. They get a day off. They'll do whatever it is you guys do on the road on a day off.
And, in New York City.
And then they get to in New York City, and they get to see their buddy. I'm sure they'll see their buddy Matt Holliday. And tomorrow night, this should be a non-issue, right? Shouldn't Matt Adams just DH this weekend? This should be a non-issue.
A non-issue, and nothing to think about. Maybe when a lefty, if they have a lefty that's given Matt Adams a problem, you have Martinez to back it up with or something like that. But it shouldn't be no issue. He should be in the lineup, I guess. You know, if you put him in left when you are in the National League teams and you don't have a DH, why not DH him when you have that opportunity, right?
Well, again, I can't help but just wonder, you know, what is our end game here? So if it's, you know, if a lot of people are already, they're already talking about next year, yeah. Benji. People are like, well, you can see what's going on. They're going to sign Manny Machado next year. That's why they don't want to worry about third base. I'm like, I need to worry about today.
Yeah, you cannot think about at all one bit about next year right now. And one of the things that you need to think about is these guys, and we're talking about the team, right, the whole team. The players, they play better when they know when they're going to hit. They play better when they already know, okay, I'm the fifth batter of this team. Okay, I'm the third batter in this team. Okay, I'm the seventh batter. But when you keep changing batters or positions, it's really, really tough. I'm not questioning Martini. He has his own team. He knows what he's doing out there with the guys. But I'm telling you, as a player, when you are being jumped all over the lineup, it's not comfortable. It's not comfortable for us. So when you give a guy a fifth position or sixth or seventh, leave it there. Let him for a few days, and you will figure out. You'll know that guy will feel comfortable. But if you keep jumping the guy first, second, third, okay, today you're fifth. Today, next day, lefty, you hit eighth. I mean, that is really, really difficult as a player, you know?
Well, we're going to find out. Like I said, there should be no issue. We have the DH in New York. So unless we're learning on the job here, and the job is to get fly balls. But again, I'm going to go back to what I said at the beginning of this whole conversation. Last I checked, we had 3 outfielders. And I hate to say it, I'm not really concerned about the 3 outfielders, even though a couple of them have started slow. I'm not concerned about them. That's not the positions I'm concerned about. So I don't know why that's why we're trying to find him at bats. And again, Adams really hasn't hit either, but I also understand that we've got all kinds of guys in the lineup that haven't hit. So I do understand, too, that we have young guys that are, your favorite word, are playing based on potential. Well, if they're going to say that they think Matt Adams has more potential to help this team than somebody else, I'm okay with that too. But the outfield is not the place for it. Not if you're going to get the kind of defense they're getting out of third and second. Might as well put Carpenter back over there and put Adams at first. Here's the thing that's funny. Adams is a good first baseman. So I don't understand why this is such an issue.
Yeah. I like him at first. I always did. And left field, obviously, haven't seen him much, and I don't know how he's looking overall. But in first base, I'll put him with my eyes closed, man. I'll put him in there. I say, hey, Dad, go ahead, play. And especially Jim and Steve-O, if we are having trouble at third base, if we are having trouble at second base, why not move Carpenter in there? And then have a lefty bat that you have, that you want, and Adams at first. I don't understand, because if Peralta was hitting and Wong was hitting or Jericho was hitting, we're not discussing this. But they're not hitting too, so I don't know. Carp play, even play outfield one time. So I just don't see. They have options. We just got to wait and hope that we'll get them, filled. We'll get them. Hey, ready to go and see what happens.
Look at our friends of the North. Ben Zobrist plays infield. He plays outfield. He's not a gold glover in any of those positions. I would say defensively, you could easily compare him to Matt Carpenter. He'll get the job done. You go into it knowing he's going to make an error occasionally. He may not make the great play, but his bat plays. He's a good, heady player. He does a lot of things for you, more than just field a ground ball, more than just hit. You got to be able to run the base. You got to know how to do all these things. So I don't understand why they can do it and we can't. I also feel that way, though, about the Matt Adams thing or the Colton Wong when he went into the outfield thing. Ben Zobrist has got no problem going to the outfield. Kyle Schwarber's got no problem going out there. Chris Bryant's got no problem going out there. So my point is, if we're going to be flexible, which we obviously are, and I don't even mean that we can be, I'm saying we are because we're doing it, why is Carpenter not the logical choice to fix this whole problem? I'm just blown away by that part of it. And again, I always say this. We are not there every day. We are not in there for the conversations. There could be things going on behind the scenes that we have no idea about. And I like to sometimes believe that, because some things seem so odd to me that I believe in my heart something is there that we are unaware of. Now, again, I'm not even saying that's true, but some of this stuff is so silly that there has to be an explanation. It's like last year with the Brandon Moss thing. I'll go to my grave saying that if I had 1 minute with Mike Matheny and he looked at me like in The Godfather and said, I'm going to let you ask me about my business this one time. To this point, my one question to him would be, how in the world did Brandon Moss stay in the lineup last year? That would be my one question for him. But I got to be honest with you. If this continues, that question might change, because I can't change that part of it. I mean, that's over and done with. So who knows?
He has the potential of hitting a home run every day.
Sure.
You hear that?
Yeah, you love that word.
That's what he probably was thinking. He has the potential of hitting a homer. So he lived by that.
Well, we could use some power. I'll take it. That's for sure. At this juncture, we can just use somebody hitting.
Yeah, we need some hits. That's for sure. We need to get some outs.
And we need to get people out. We need a obviously, starters, I don't worry about so much. I think the starters will be great, but we're gonna have to keep an eye on Wayne, of course. But the relievers, man. I mean, the relievers, the ability they have and the pitches they have, they should be getting people out. So we'll see. It's early, like I said. It's 2 innings, 3 innings, 4 innings, each of them. So we'll see. They'll be better.
Well, let's hope so. My man, we appreciate you every week joining us, taking time out of your day and busy schedule. I look forward to when you're coming back in town. We're going to have get on that bike, lose a few pounds, because when you come back, we're going to put it all back on. You know what I mean?
Hey, I'm telling you, man, I started going, man. I should have taken a picture. I couldn't even go. I think I went 12 miles the first day, 17 miles the second day, man, and I was dying. I was like, gosh, man, I got to start doing this every day so I can get used to, but those ribs were talking to me, and the Emo's Pizza was talking to me, and I was like, oh, crap, man, what do I do? And the pretzel,
Yeah, the Gus's pretzel. You had a little bit of everything. Well, hey, we're going to have to outdo ourselves next time you come here. So Steve and I are actually today going to start lining up the other iconic St. Louis restaurants that we got to get you into and get you that taste of St. Louis, basically.
Absolutely.
And go karts and for the fans out there, hey, don't lose hope. That's the last thing you lose, and hope is everything. So they're gonna switch it around, man. They're gonna switch it around. I have faith in these kids, and they're always done it. You know? So let's just be patient with these kids.
If that's the rock,
I don't know how much patient we can be, but let's just start with being patient the first couple of weeks of the season, right?
I'm not real sure we have a choice but to be patient at this juncture, so I guess we'll see, right?
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Only second week, maybe by a month or so, we're in better shape.
All right, my friend. We will talk to you next week.
Thanks, BMO.
You got it, buddy. You guys take care over there.
All righty. That is Benji Molina, as brought to you each week on the M4byYachty.com hotline. Steve-O, yeah, again, I think you were probably surprised by a couple of my comments because, I'm labeled sometimes as a Matheny apologist, but the truth of the matter is these are the things that I've said all along that I have issue with and can take issue with. I do believe that he or they know things that I don't know, of course, and again, no matter what anybody thinks, they're smart. They've played the game their whole lives. They're smart guys. Now, that doesn't mean their talent evaluation is any better than anybody's, for that matter, right? But my point is, it doesn't make any sense to me. That part makes no sense to me.
I agree. I need to stop looking at 2018. We need some wins.
Yeah.
Because, from a fan's perspective, we do this show, okay?
Yeah.
It's fine if we're not doing the show and I'm a fan, because guess what? If it's a bad product, I can turn off the TV.
Yeah.
Right? I can go do something else. But, we're trying to prepare for this show, and we have to be somewhat informed. So you're forced to sit there and watch some bad baseball games over the last week. And that's the frustrating part of it. Sure. Is, before we started, and we've only been doing this since the end of last year's season, but you get involved in this and you're like, man, it's nice to talk about good things. It's nice to talk about bad things, but I don't want to watch bad things. That's not my, that's a bad entertainment investment when you got to sit out there and you're sitting and watching a circus in left field or the same routine plays not get made or somebody can't get an out here. You get Rosie that three up, three down the night before and then comes out and he shits the bed. Can't get anybody. And it's frustrating, and you need some consistency. You need, Piscotty, 3 for 5 yesterday, killing the ball, looking great. Clueless the week before. So
here's the thing about baseball, though, okay? We just played the Washington team,
yes,
the Nationals, and they look like, give them the trophy and all. They're 5-4. I mean, right. That's the thing. I mean, we're 9 games into this thing. They're 5-4. Every team right now is looking at their team going, okay, what's going on here? That great offense up in Chicago got shut out again last night. We all have our own problems. I'm more concerned about the answer to our problems here because I don't know that there is one.
Well, I liked your Manny Machado answer.
Well, I mean, everybody's already talking about that, but, what does that mean? Who wouldn't like that as an option? But, is that realistic? I don't know. I mean, I will say this, the Cardinals, do they have that guy?
Well, you better get him in a trade, okay,
and then
sign him, because there's nobody coming here in free agency for, any big name like that. I can't remember the last one. Can't remember it.
Yeah,
and we tried to figure it out yesterday. Fowler, signed as a free agent.
I can tell you this.
But he's not the big name Manny Machado.
They're probably not trading Manny Machado, would be my guess. But
I know.
I would assume they'll do all they can.
Give them. Can we give up? That's maybe what we'll do.
Okay,
we'll
just, topic for Monday. I want you to think about this because we're way over. There's two big ones. I mean, there's a bunch, but if you're going to go spend $300 million, is it on Bryce
Harper
or is it going to be Manny Machado?
Machado for me. I'm an infield guy.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm just an infield guy.
Well, we're going to find out. Hey, listen, we appreciate everybody tuning in, and I know we ran a little over, but, you know, interesting things going on. Got a day off today anyway. You got some extra time. No Cardinals to watch tonight. Don't forget to find us at twobirdsonabat.com. That's where you can hear the podcast, catch up on back episodes. And, of course, it's the easiest way to subscribe to the podcast. It is completely free. You just click on subscribe to the podcast, find your mobile provider, boom, you're done. You'll get a notification every time the show comes out. Follow us on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Shows, where that can be done. We love to engage with folks over Twitter. It's a lot of fun, good lighthearted humor. If you're a Cardinal fan, we're going to follow you back as well. Same thing with our Facebook page, Two Birds on a Bat. Just type it in. Like our page, Twitter and Facebook both, all we're really asking you to do is to like our stuff and share it around in hopes of reaching as many Cardinal fans as we can and get them involved in the show, because we pride ourselves on being a true Cardinal fan podcast. We just started the great group, Birds on a Bat, the new Facebook group for Cardinal Baseball. There's many great groups out there that we need to thank. RallySquirrel.com, that's the big Facebook page that's really helped us grow this show. Cardinals Nation with Chris Lalas, all he's done for our show and the growth. His new one, 24/7. Of course, the Cardinal Freak and all the great Facebook pages and Facebook groups out there. Like I said, we just started the new one, Birds on a Bat. We'd like to keep it public and allow people to share their stuff in there. We're not going to tolerate any ignorance, but, yeah, feel free to voice your opinion, as we all have one. And at the end of the day, what do I always say? What do we really know? So, you know, let's have some fun with it and just see what happens. As far as where we're at from here, I guess we'll find out on Monday. We visit the Big Apple and play the historic Yankees. I mean, you got a couple of the two most historic franchises in history playing against one another. It's going to be a lot of fun either way, but obviously we need to go in there and win a couple of games for sure.
Absolutely.
All right, for Steve, Benji Molina, thanks go out to the Cardinal Cowboy, all the gang at lineupmedia.fm, and, of course, our producer, Brian Cox. Let's go Cards.
Go Birds.
Today's show is presented by DaVinci Smart Drink. Order yours now at lineupmedia.fm/DaVinci. DaVinci, excite better thinking.
You need a mental boost? DaVinci Smart Drinks were designed with professional thinkers in mind. With key ingredients shown to improve cognitive function and increase mental energy, DaVinci Smart Drinks excite better thinking. Drink a DaVinci. Let it go to your head.
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.